ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
Each week, more than 200 people in the United States are diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. They join more than a million other Americans who have contracted the disease. If you know someone with MS, you may have heard their stories of a search for a cure, looking for treatments that will help relieve their symptoms. On this edition of UWM Today, we're going to talk with a UWM researcher who's exploring the role that light therapy may have in helping multiple sclerosis patients. Gerianne Lyons is a professor of biomedical sciences and the associate dean of UWM's College of Health Sciences, and we welcome you to today's program.
Thank you.
Gerianne, let's talk about the whole notion of using light as a form of therapy. First of all, before we even get into MS, I was surprised when I saw that that this may be a viable way of helping people with disease.
Well, light therapy, or we call it photobiomodulation or PBM. So if I slip into some letters, that's what that means. But it's actually showing great promise for any of a number of chronic inflammatory diseases or neurodegenerative diseases. And the reason it is potentially effective for so many things is it acts on a particular organelle in the cell called a mitochondria. And the mitochondria, think of these as the energy factories of the cell. They are responsible for making the energy or ATP that the cells need to function. And so cells that need more energy have more mitochondria. Cells that need less have fewer. And the light interacts directly with the mitochondria so that they can, one, make more energy, and two, downregulate or dampen down inflammatory responses through a whole number of different mechanisms. But there's crosstalk in the cell that helps these things happen.
What kind of light are we talking about? Is this infrared? Is it a normal heat lamp? What is it that is the magic sauce here?
Well, we know actually that the various wavelengths of light that make up white, like all the colors, seem to be having some sort of biological effect when we separate them out and basically use them at a higher intensity than what we get from our normal white light or sunlight. The light that we're using for the mitochondria is red or infrared light. So either visible red light that we can see, think a laser pointer or the exit sign, into the infrared wavelengths, which we can't see. But standing in front of the exit sign, you could stand in front of the exit sign for years and not really have any effect because it's not bright enough. It has to be sufficiently bright in order to penetrate the cells, penetrate the body and get into the cell so it can do its thing.
So when you do apply light to a person with a disease such as MS, how close does that light have to be? You said a moment ago it needs to be very bright. Mm-hmm. Is it placed literally right above the skin or on the skin?
Well, generally speaking, it's placed right onto the skin. There can be a little bit of airspace between, you know, maybe a couple centimeters or so, but the further you get away from the skin, the more the light dissipates and the less light enters the body. So it's really best if you can put it right on the skin. Now, whether we need to put it right on the affected area, say you have an open sore, or we can treat, you know, maybe your elbow if you've got a sore on your wrist, both seem to be effective. There seems to be both that local healing effect as well as more of a total systemic effect. And so, generally speaking, we place the light over the site that we want to heal, or over the site we want to affect.
And I'm presuming this is a cool light. We're not talking about any heat coming off of
this. No. In fact, the lights are carefully manufacture so that they don't produce heat. That everything we see happening is really due to the light. And there's a number of reasons for that. We certainly know heat has an effect on the body, but it's turning out to be very important to that we don't generate heat because a lot of the conditions we're treating, patients are numb or have lost sensation over the area that we're treating. And many, many years ago, before we fully understood, there were, you know, we would generate too much heat and we could actually burn. So now the lights are manufactured so that all that heat is pulled away.
So you've identified light as a means of helping to fortify or to empower the cells. You mentioned the mitochondria cells within under the skin. So let's talk about in the application here to a victim who had an individual who has multiple sclerosis. They could have pain or problems moving, problems with nerve sensations throughout their body. It might be an one arm is affected more than the other. But I have friends who have MS and they have talked about some days having a tough time walking and other days problems with vision, focusing. So in a case like that, where would you apply the light?
Well, that's a really good question, and you know. So there, we've got, first of all, we have different devices. Some devices are a single, you know, application that we put, but there are also big panels and actually like a big tanning bed that you can treat your whole body at once. Now, there's a difference between treating, say, the disease as it's happening within the brain and spinal cord versus treating the symptoms. Ideally, we want to target brain and spinal cord, but we are moving. Our first human studies are just happening now. And we're actually treating a certain muscle in the leg that will help with balance and muscle fatigue. So you can treat a particular site or you can treat the whole body. And the important thing is we have that local effect and we know that whatever is directly under the light is going to absorb most of the light, and that's where a targeted effect is going to happen. But we know that we don't fully understand how yet, but there's something that happens throughout the whole body. So maybe something carried in the blood, for example, that can have a whole systemic effect as well.
So even though you're treating that one spot on the hand or on the elbow, as you noted, the benefits may spread far beyond that one area.
Absolutely. In fact, in studies where we're looking at how we can heal chronic wounds, say pressure ulcers in spinal cord injury patients or diabetic wound ulcers, we'll find if we treat a wound, say, on the back of the hand, a wound on the leg will get better too.
Wow.
Now because of that systemic.
You've been talking a lot about the impact on MS. Mm-hmm. It's an autoimmune disease. There are other autoimmune diseases, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, I think type 1 diabetes considered one. Do they also respond to the same light therapy that you're trying on MS patients?
We don't know for certain. MS is one of the first autoimmune diseases that we've looked at in terms of responding to the light. But as we understand how the light is working to improve MS or to improve the clinical signs and symptoms of disease, it would make sense that at least with some autoimmune diseases that the light would have an effect. There are two different ways we can get autoimmune diseases. And one is by basically inflammation, and one is by antibodies. And antibodies are what we normally think of as helping us clear a virus infection from the body, for example. And with the way the light seems to be working, those diseases that are caused by inflammation are probably, or at least theoretically, going to be able to be helped with the light. Whereas those that are caused by antibodies, I don't know. We've never looked at any of them, but I would suspect probably not.
We hear a lot from people who treat folks with heart disease that one of the factors behind that heart problem may be inflammation within the arteries themselves. Any sense whether or not light therapy might be impactful for someone dealing with that condition?
Absolutely. The interesting thing with the light is, as I said earlier, it's affecting right at that level of the energy-producing part of the cell, but it can only take that energy production back to normal. It can't bump it up above normal. And so any inflammatory disease has this compromise in energy production by the mitochondria, and it will work to downregulate that inflammation. And so, yes, if, you know, general inflammation through the body is helped by the light because it's able to take down those mechanisms that lead to that inflammation and kind of put things back more on an even keel.
You're listening to UWM Today right here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and joining us in the studio is Gerianne Lyons. Gerianne is a professor of biomedical sciences. She's also the associate dean at UWM's College of Health Sciences. And she's involved in some fascinating research looking into how light therapy can help people with a wide variety of different diseases. Gerianne, how did you first get interested in the use of light therapy? Is this a recent development in your career, or is this something you've been doing for a long time?
Well, relatively recently. I've been studying multiple sclerosis since 1992, and I can't do that quick math in my head, but a long time, always with the immune response. And I first joined UWM about 16 years ago. And at the same time, there was another faculty member that joined our department named Dr. Janice Ells. And she and I would talk. And she was using the red light therapy to treat blindness, retinal diseases, mostly in animals. She's since moved on. And we talked for a couple of years. And every time we talked, she'd tell me how she thought the light was working. And I would say, well, if what you're saying is true, then it should make my mice better. I mostly work in an animal model of disease. And so finally we got around to trying it. The first experiment was done in 2006, and I never expected it to work. The experiments take about a month minimally to perform, and the whole time I'm watching the experiment and I'm thinking it's not working. In fact, looks like it's making things worse. And so we finished the experiment. I sat down on my computer to analyze the data. It was late on a Friday, but I wanted to know what happened. And I did all the manipulations, data calculations, and I just sat back. I'm like, oh, my gosh, it worked. And I called her. I'm like, you're not going to believe this worked. She's, well, of course I believe it worked. I never doubted. And since 2006, it has become the main focus of my laboratory, and my laboratory is doing most of the research for photobiomodulation for the treatment of multiple sclerosis.
Fascinating. Why multiple sclerosis? What got you interested in studying that disease in the first place?
I became interested in graduate school. When someone goes to graduate school, you have to choose what you're going to focus on for your dissertation, and I worked with a number of faculty members in the department and decided that, you know, this project, studying an animal model of multiple sclerosis, is what most interested me. But I never planned on staying in multiple sclerosis. But after I finished my PhD, the next level of training is postdoctoral fellowship. And I went to St. Louis, Missouri, Washington University School of Medicine, and was lucky enough to work with researchers as well as physicians, neurologists, in their multiple sclerosis clinic. And in St. Louis was the first time I'd really interacted and worked with multiple sclerosis patients. And they are an amazing group of people, their families, their friends, themselves. They're very educated of their disease, and they're very interested in helping, doing whatever they can. And it really was that's what motivated me to stick with it. Once I was there for a year or two, I knew I wasn't going to stop studying multiple sclerosis.
You know, I know what you're saying about the attitude of people with MS. I have a family member and then several dear friends who have contracted the disease in the course of their life. And my wife and I have both commented about the amazing, amazing optimism and positivity that they bring to fighting this condition that is really challenging, one that can be very, very debilitating. It's inspiring.
It absolutely is inspiring. I've seen patients with MS participating in a clinical study who volunteer to delay a certain treatment that their neurologist wants them to try so they don't affect the results of the study. You know, those are always interesting conversations. You know, their health and safety comes first, but they want to help. They want to be part of the search for a cure.
Well, let's talk about the human trials that are now just getting underway. How difficult was it for you to transition from working on animal subjects to humans? Was that a big leap? And who are you working with in terms of identifying the human subjects that are now part of the study?
Sure. This is the second time in my career that I've been able to take something from the mice into the patient population. So I had a little bit of experience. My first opportunity on my postdoc was led by a neurologist, so I had a little bit of that experience behind me. Now, in terms of transitioning the light to the patient population, that was a little bit tricky because the idea that light could affect the whole disease is a little bit hard to swallow, to be frank. And so, you know, even the thought that the light can penetrate into the brain or the spinal cord, and because MS comes with such a wide variety of signs and symptoms, many of which just fundamentally knowing how the light works could benefit, it was searching for that application that really is almost a proof of concept in many ways. And so in another avenue with the light research, it's been shown in elite athletes, but also healthy individuals, that the light can improve muscle function, help with recovery, muscle fatigue, and that sort of thing. And as you know, muscle fatigue and just muscle function is a huge issue for multiple sclerosis patients. So I was able to arrange a collaboration with Dr. Alex Eng at Marquette University, who is an exercise physiologist, and he focuses on how exercise can help in recovery from chronic diseases, particularly MS, but others as well. And I contacted him because I have a graduate student who wanted to start studying the effects of the light on the human immune response. And I'm, Alex, can you help me collect some patients? He said, or some subjects rather, and he said, sure, but why don't we talk about also using this to help with muscle function? So we designed a small pilot, the first time that the light has been applied clinically to MS subjects to improve muscle function, particularly, like I said earlier, a small muscle in the leg. And so we've recruited, I believe, about 20 subjects at this point. They're
all from the Milwaukee area?
All from the Milwaukee area, Milwaukee and Waukesha County. Although I've had individuals contact me from other parts of the state, Madison or Appleton, hey, I'll drive down for this if you want me to. So the first part was just seeing if we could determine what dose of the light would work best. And now we've moved on to a little bit longer term treatment. We settled on a 2-week treatment period where the subjects treat themselves each day, both their calf and then this muscle in the front of the leg. And then they come back and we repeat muscle function tests so we can see if that longer term treatment has more of a pronounced effect. We have two lights. Pardon me, one that we term active, that we expect to have a clinical effect, and then a placebo dose as well.
And do they know which light they're
They don't.
Using?
The only person that knows, I don't even know, the only person who knows which light they're using at a particular time is my graduate student who gives them the light and shows them how to use it. So Dr. Eng doesn't know the light. His students doing the muscle function testing don't know which light. I don't know which light. Only Miguel knows which light. And so for the first two-week period, they'll get either the active light or the placebo light. And then after 2 weeks with no light at all, they get the opposite device. And so we're going to be able to tell over time what kind of effect that we can have.
You mentioned over time. How long will it be before you know what the outcome is? What results might point to success or maybe it's not working?
Well, the first part of our study was just a single treatment. And there was enough there to say, yeah, we think something's happening in that it seems to, with the just the single treatment, improved recovery from a bout of exercise. We've now collected total data. The whole protocol is about a month and a half. And we've now collected, I believe, four subjects through the whole protocol. And so we're just starting to analyze that data now as subjects complete. So we should know relatively soon what kind of effect we're having.
If it does prove to be successful, what happens next? I mean, do you then talk to other players on the national front about perhaps a broader study, one that might look at people from all over the country?
That's probably a couple of studies down the road. But this first small study was funded by the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. Dr. Ng and I are already talking about the next study. So we're putting together a larger grant to collect more subjects to really confirm. I mean, this is such a small pilot study, but to expand our study into more individuals with MS, compare a little bit of what happens with healthy individuals, and then really zero in more on how this is all working. So with any luck, we'll be funded for a larger study and be able to collect more data. We've already thought of things we need to do a little differently that'll help expand our knowledge and move on from there.
Is it likely you'll be able to determine whether or not this treatment is more effective with people who are in the early onset stage of the disease versus people who have had MS for a long time?
Absolutely. In fact, our first human study is with subjects with early disease. They're still in their relapsing remitting disease where they'll have attacks and then they'll recover and then they'll have attacks. But our data in the mouse model was really looking at a more chronic stage of disease. And so certainly one of the things we want to do in our next study is start looking at what happens early in disease versus the effect we can see later in disease. And can we slow disease progression? Can we stop disease progression? Can we reverse disease progression? We don't know, but the possibilities are promising and, you know, encouraging.
And for people who are undergoing treatment already for their disease, who are taking medication, how do you deal with that? If some people are on one medication and others are on another medication, and then you introduce light therapy, how do you know if one medication is helping or detracting from the benefits of the light therapy?
That's a great question because we have a number of medications, mostly for that early stage of disease, which slow disease progression. But they don't stop it. And many, I won't say all because it's not all, but many subjects are already on a drug and you can't take them off that drug. And one of the interesting things that seems to be coming out of our study is the drug the subject is on matters. It can affect the results with the light. And so again, as we expand our study, focusing in on subjects on a particular drug. And, it's possible that the light is going to be most effective in subjects on one drug versus another. Maybe there are drugs that are going to be contraindicated that don't play well with the light, for example. We don't know that yet.
Boy, it sounds like you have just an unlimited number of questions that need to be answered.
Oh, there's a lot. There's a lot. But it's looking really promising. And I've talked with MS patients who have taken it upon themselves that they're starting to treat themselves with the light. And it is showing promise. And so, understanding which patients it can be of most benefit and where it can be of most benefit is really important.
For those listeners who themselves may have MS or have a family friend or a family member with MS, are there opportunities for them to volunteer for these studies, to go ahead and become a test subject as you begin to go deeper and deeper into the analysis of whether light therapy works?
Absolutely. They could reach out directly to me at the university. And as we design the studies further and expand that our subjects, certainly there's room.
And they can contact you right through the College of Health Sciences.
Correct.
And we'll give everybody your name and email in just a moment. One more question. We just have a little bit of time left. As you take a look at studying the impact of light therapy on MS, we've talked earlier about all of the other autoimmune diseases that also might benefit from this. You don't know yet. Mm-hmm. Are there other researchers around the country involved in looking at the application of light therapy for those diseases, like rheumatoid arthritis?
Well, rheumatoid arthritis, osteoarthritis, there are some early studies that are looking very promising. But in terms of, some of the other diseases we discussed, no, it's very early. The light is showing really great promise with retinal diseases and chronic inflammation, like diabetic wound ulcers, for example. And that's where a lot of the clinical data is coming from right now.
Well, a lot of work to do down the road.
Oh, yes.
Gerianne, thanks so much for joining us. If people do want to contact you about the study, your email address?
J Lyons, that's JLYONS at uwm.edu.
Great. Terrific. And you're in the College of Health Sciences, and we wish you continued success on this fascinating research.
Thank you.
Gerianne Lyons, Professor of Biomedical Sciences at UWM, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. Thanks for joining us this week. We'll see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.